Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Correctly, over the last half of a century, many people have pushed for equality and the respect for legal rights for all citizens. However, there is a topic of discussion that seems not to get enough attention, particularly so from the most disaffected population of society today. That is the topic about responsibility of all citizens to meet civic expectations in order to ensure justice for all. Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and our topic tonight is balancing legal rights and civic expectations. Balancing legal rights and civic expectations. Tonight we have a special guest, Reverend Dr. Fred Shelton, who is also the Assistant Chief of Police of Columbus, Mississippi, to be on with us, and he's going to share his knowledge and experience over the last three decades plus in this area. He's well qualified to engage us, as well as our esteemed panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, author of the powerful book Steel High, which you can find on our website. You can call us here and join the conversation at 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. Should you be listening from our Facebook page, you can just simply click on the link and join us live in the conversation. Having said that, this is a national talk show, and we welcome your comments, your questions, and any meaningful dialogue that you can add to our discussion. In a little bit, we're going to introduce our guest and have him come in and talk with us and engage him, as well as our panelists. But first, let me begin, as we normally do for the show, by offering a monologue. And for our new listeners, the monologue is intended to give us context for conversation, give us some sort of factual backing or basis for what we're talking about. There are some questions on the Facebook page. Feel free to respond to those on Facebook or even call in and give us your response. All right, Romans chapter 7, verse 4 reads, "Wherefore, my brethren, you also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." We're going to talk first about legal rights and then civic expectations. But first, legal rights. Legal rights are those bestowed onto a person by a given legal system that is represented by the will of an organized government of people. Because such laws are enacted by people, they can be modified, repealed, or restrained by the same through a legislative democratic process. The concept of natural law is closely related to the concept of natural rights, those which grow out of the nature of man and woman, depending on their personality. Cicero, a Roman Greek philosopher, first introduced the concept of natural law. Additionally, it has historically been associated with biblical principle and taught by Catholic philosophers such as Albert the Great and Saint Thomas Aquinas, the saint. During the Age of Enlightenment, the concept of natural laws was used to challenge the divine right of kings to rule over people and became the justification for the establishment of what is known as social contracts, positive law, and even government, and thus legal rights in the form of classical republicanism, which means the belief that government is formed by the will of, by the will through, and the will for the people who gives consent to be governed. Generally speaking, the United States courts view matters of divine nature or cause as being absolute in their rulings. This is one of the bases for separation of church and state. There are certain things that are of God that are absolute that man cannot control. The constitutional framer James Madison helped introduce the Bill of Rights, which were the first 10 amendments to the United States Constitution. They specified the legal rights of all American citizens that are protected by national law. Those 10 amendments were as follows. First Amendment focused on freedom of speech and the press and to petition government. The Second Amendment dealt with the rights to bear arms or to protect oneself, even against government if they needed to. The Third Amendment focused on protection from having property quartered by troops or the army during peacetime. Fourth Amendment protection offered protection from unreasonable search and seizure of your property, your home. Fifth Amendment focused on protection from self-incrimination. You can't be, you or your spouse, made to testify against yourself. The Sixth Amendment focused on due process of the law, the right to a speedy trial and to face your accusers. Seventh Amendment focused on the right to civil suit for property, to be made whole after someone has caused you to lose something of a material nature. The Eighth Amendment focused on protection against excessive bail. In other words, you can't make your bail too high unreasonably so you can get out of jail. The Ninth Amendment focused on general rights of the people themselves that were endowed by the Creator. And the Tenth Amendment, lastly, focused on the rights of states to be sovereign and to determine their own destiny by the will of the people. So now let's talk briefly about civic expectations. Here's the balance here. Civic expectations relate to duties or activities of people in relationship to their city, their state, or their local or society as a whole. When the word civic or civil is used, they make reference to the stance of a citizen. And by functional meaning, a citizen is a member of a political community. Accordingly, there are certain prescribed behaviors set to ensure the protection, welfare, security, and prosperity of all members of the said community. It should be noted that the rights of an American citizen is established in the state in which one resides. Once you go there, you're to register as a citizen there or as a resident of that city within that state, and that's where your citizenship is established. But it is protected by the United States Constitution. Where there is no law, there can be no reasonable assurance of order. In the absence of order, we have chaos. Should a citizen's rights be abridged by another person or even a government or government official, there is a legal process to protect those rights. Likewise, there are some basic actions required of all law-abiding citizens. Briefly, I'll just cover a few of them. Respect for the rights of other people and others in society. Adherence to the letter of codified or written law. Ensuring public decency. The paying of taxes to fund government operations. Safety and security. There's a role that the citizen play, as well as the police, in maintaining safety and security. We're going to hear from my expert on that tonight. And lastly, responsible parenting. Rearing children in such a way that they don't become a menace to society, but they become productive citizens of that society. Now, it gives me great pleasure to bring our special guest in, Reverend Dr. Fred Shelton, who is the Assistant Chief of Police in Columbus, Mississippi, have been in law enforcement now for three decades plus, as well as a military police in the Army for the same amount of time, a father, a pastor there. And he's going to tell us a little bit more about himself. And we have our esteemed panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. Pastor Waller, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. How you doing, Pastor Dockery?
Great. Good to have you. Let me have Reverend Shelton. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, sir.
Great. Welcome to Talk Straight. And I just want to open the floor to you for a few minutes. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you do that.
Well, obviously, I'm a police officer, been enforcing the law for the last 30-some years. However, I am involved in trying to rectify some of the problem, making understanding between the police and the community. I run a small nonprofit, and the whole purpose of that profit is try to build a bridge between the community and the police so we can have meaningful dialogue as to what we need to do and how we need to respond and how the police will respond. So I do agree wholeheartedly with you. I'm a firm believer in law and the process. There is a process, regardless of what people say. There's a process.
Okay.
But how we handle that is what we really need to focus on. One of the things that I like to refer to is Sir Robert Peel, which is the father of modern day policing. Of course, the American system is based on the London Metropolitan Police. And one of the things that he said, he had nine principles, is that the people are the police and the police are the people.
Okay.
Which says that the uniform officer is responsible for doing that job 24/7. However, it is incumbent upon every citizen police themselves.
Mm.
And if they would police themselves, then there would be no need for governmental intrusion.
I see. Interesting. So now, is that a way of saying that we are somewhat responsible for government intrusion when we are out of order? Is that what this, I mean? Should I conclude that from what you're saying?
So what happened is we follow the biblical principle. Jesus said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you."
Right.
However, when someone is doing you wrong, you don't want them to continue. And so what we have to do is. And Jesus was a protector of the underdog. He watched over people, and he took. And when the laws were unjust and they were hurting people,
okay.
He would stand. He would step in and say, "Okay, look. The woman that was caught in the act of adultery, he said, look, this surely she's wrong. She should be punished." But here's what he said: "You who are without sin, let you cast the first stone."
Hmm.
So we have called this woman into question, and the law says she should be put to death. Surely, yeah, that's what the law says. Okay, but how many of you have broken the law and the law hasn't been applied appropriately to you? So that was a responsibility. Yes, because that was another person responsible. Where was the man at?
It
did take two.
Right.
So when we start talking about that, we all have a legal – if I see my neighbor being done wrong, then I should help them. I should help them. And then when it gets above and beyond my control, then I need some help.
Okay.
Then that's why we have authorities. We have police officers and other government agencies that are trained to respond when people get out of. Generally, I found this to be true. The only time that the police are called is when there's a problem, when normal means to rectify the situation, i.e. a disturbance, have been exhausted, and there's no other help. If a person is being attacked on the street and no one is helping, then of course you know how to call 911 and call somebody that's trained to help there, because I'm being attacked, I'm being hurt, and people are standing by allowing me to be hurt. So we have a more obligation, a more responsibility to help our fellow man.
So I'm
reminded of a recent incident. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Now I was going to say that was a recent incident in this part of the country where there was a man disrespecting some Muslim women on the train, and three men got up and said, "Hey, that's not right." I think two of the gentlemen lost their lives because they was defending the honor of this woman. And so people say, "Well, that's not my problem." Well, it is our problem.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to say that, of course, you know, America is plagued with its own history. And it does have a history of dehumanizing things, particularly those of African descent, as well as using the legal system to manipulate the will and rights of other people, blacks, historically. I think we've come a long way and we've evolved. Things have improved in terms of even our legal system and opportunities to use the court system to protect people's rights. Is it unfounded for particularly young people today to say, you remember what they done to us, and that justifies us being out of order, unruly, and disrespecting the rule of law? Is that a justified position?
That's not just, you know, here's the thing. All lives matter. Just police lives, black lives, white lives, purple lives, every lives matter. So historically, when we look at back at the Black Panthers and we look at the reforms of slavery, and we look at when people put their lives on the line, they died so that people would have. What was it? Because they were being oppressed. Some people had to stand up and fight. So we're not in that same environment today. I would dare say that if you went to Fisk University, there's not a bunch of policemen standing there with batons and dogs saying you can't attend this university.
Right.
So we don't have the same fight. There are things in place that help us now. So, but there's a legitimate way. If I'm discriminated against, we have civil action. We can sue the university. There are legal things that we can do now that we couldn't do back then.
So you would recommend, you would counsel them to say, don't allow your emotions to get the best of you, but look at what's available to you,
right,
to exercise those rights, because there are expectations.
Right.
Just because I'm mad and somebody made me mad, then give me a right to go and take it out, like this fellow on the train, take it out on everybody else. Let me bring, if you don't mind, let me bring my panelists in. Pastor Waller, how you doing? You have anything you want to chime in on this discussion before we finish this first section?
Well, I want to thank you, first of all, Pastor Dockery, and this is the Chief of Police. Your name again?
Assistant Chief.
Fred Shelton.
Mr. Shelton? Okay, officer,
yes, sir.
I want you to know that how grateful I am for you to be able to sit in with us and share things that's, I would say, that's important.
Yes.
I will have some questions, if you will. I have a great concern. You talk about community, and you're talking about some of the things that the law enforcement have to participate in. And one thing that I have heard, and I wasn't able to hear it years ago because I was in the streets myself.
Right.
And what I heard lately was that the police were to serve and protect.
That's correct.
That to me was valuable to hear that.
Right.
And then I thought about some of the things that I know for sure myself, after I got free from the bondage that I was in. In community, I was enslaved by something that wasn't a dog.
Right.
And it wasn't a police vat. It was a chemical. It was
right.
a chemical that controlled me, and then through me, it controlled multiple people. You know, it had multitudes of people that was controlled by that I was controlled by, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
The chemical is called drugs. And
correct.
In our community, it's still a lot of that going on. And somehow it's like, okay, if it's not intentional, then it could be accidentally. It just came into this side of town. It just ended up on that side of town. And before you know it, it's on the north, east, and the west side of town. And I wonder something, you know, who is it that's capable of putting a stop to it before it gets to the community? It would be my question. Yeah,
okay, so
go ahead, excuse me.
Go ahead, sir. No, go ahead, sir.
Okay. Yeah, because once it gets into the community and then someone may try it, whether it's doing the drugs by getting high or whether it's by selling it and making a dollar from it. And then all of a sudden, someone find out and they get caught, arrested, and possibly sent to prison for something that's controlling. And I often wonder, how did it get in our communities and why is it still in our communities when it's boom? And what's happening is causing a lot of harm on every side of town. And again, I came from the street, so I understand that I didn't bring it in. I knew I didn't bring it in. I discovered that. But yet still, I was penalized later on, and I'm going to let you say something back to me on behalf of this. And later on, I found out that I was sick. And it wasn't because I wanted to get rich. It wasn't in, and maybe some people may want to get rich, but that was not my case. I was just doing it for having fun. All of a sudden, it went from having fun to I was controlling my whole community, and I messed it up. And I still have a great concern about that because there's still some more people that that's happening to. And I often wonder, what is it that can be done to stop it from coming to the community before it even get to the community?
So that's where people have to make a choice, because often I hear our young brothers say, hey, man, I can't find no job, man, so I got to do something to make a living. Okay, now. And I do agree that they need to make a living. However, that's not the way to make a living. There are other legitimate ways of making a living. Now, so when we say that the poison is being brought into our community, who's bringing the poison in? So it would stand to reason that a prudent man, if I saw that there was poison that was out there in the neighborhood, I would take and remove that. Okay? And I would say, okay, I do not have to participate just because people are bringing it in. So, of course, we know drugs are being smuggled in this country from Mexico and other places. But however, just because it's being brought to does not mean we have to accept it and say, yes, I'm going to participate in this. I'm going to use this because it makes me feel good or I can make money. So we need to stand up and say, yes, I know it's coming. And the government is the government's responsibility to help stop this influx of illegal substance coming in. But just because they bring it to our community does not mean that we have to participate in it.
I like that.
So
I like that.
That's where we have to stand up and educate our people, okay, because this substance that's being brought in, they're making profit. So it's just like any other corporate, it's like any other business. We're the low-key, we're the end users, okay? It's the law of supply and demand, okay? If we cut off the supply, then there won't be no, if we cut off the demand. So, yes, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not, hey, I refuse to let this happen because I know what it's going to do to my community, and I'm refusing. And so, as and going back to that civil responsibility, I have a responsibility to say that, hey, this is wrong. I'm going to report this to the appropriate authority. But nobody in our community wants to be a snitch. I'm not a snitch. I'm not a snitch.
Wait.
But you notice.
Hold on
you,
now.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. So you don't want to be no snitch. Say what?
No, I want to be, you know, I know that this is destroying our neighborhood. I know that these young guys out here doing this, but I don't want to be a snitch. But it's affecting my community because it's feeding supply and demand. Because when I can't get my drug, I'm going to steal. I'm going to rob and do anything I can to obtain this illegal substance. And so these people are walking around the ones that are benefiting. And, hey, the benefit is not going to our community. The benefit is going to whoever's supplying. You know, you see these young guys riding around in cars or living in a nice apartment, but the majority, the bulk of that finance, is not going to them. It's going to that supplier.
Right.
Yes. That's why I'm right there.
So that's why I feel responsible. I'm not going to let you stand on corner and sell drugs in front of my. Because again, what's going to happen is the property value is going to go down, crime is going to increase, and I don't want to live in a community like that. I don't want to live hostage in my own home because I got people that look like me standing on the corner doing something illegal.
Lord.
Let me come in again right here, if you will. Chief, I hear what you're
saying.
Okay, go ahead. I like what you just said. Because they bring it in does not mean we have to do it.
Absolutely.
That's correct. Now,
that's correct.
Let me explain something to you. If it never appears and get in our community, we wouldn't do it no way, correct? Okay, now. But now that it's in our community and you don't know that it's not no good, you don't know anything other than this is something new, and once you try it, it has nothing to do with what it's doing to the community. Now it has to do with you being in a trap. And see, what happens to a trap doesn't seem like it's no good, it's not right, especially when you're doing it for fun. As I myself was. See, I got free from it, true enough. And I knew that, what I know now, that I don't have to do it because I've been delivered for 25 years now. But at the time that I got captured, that was not even a thought. So when you capture the minds of a person and then it spreads all over the city, in every community, you know, from the north, south, east, and west again, and you have the authority now, there is no way that these people who are captured are going to be able to recognize, and this is from my experience of being out there, that they are in a trap.
Okay.
My question still remains, if they are able to come and get caught without nobody, don't have to snitch, don't have to tell on nobody, you know, because what's going on, somebody already knows that this stuff is in the community. And when they show up, it don't come from a snitcher. It comes from they know that they're out on the beat, and this is something different, and they have a right to check people and do things like that, and they would do it. Now, it's not to say that that's a disrespect is where I'm coming from, because I love the part they say that is to serve and protect. Now, protect the people that are there that are innocent, innocent eyes, innocent ears, and these are the kids that's growing up ignorant, young, as I was, dumb, don't know no better, and here come an opportunity, I go to McDonald's or wherever it is to get a job, but to make $5 right here real quick or $20 right here or $100, now the pattern of thinking is no longer looking for a job tomorrow or anything like that. So how to keep it from coming into the community is invaluable.
Chief, hold one second. Hold your thought, Chief.
Okay.
That's a good segue into our next section. We got three sections here. And in our next 30 minutes, what I'd like to do is go to a brief commercial break. And if you don't mind, Chief, when we come back, it sounds like
he's
asking you about solutions and about steps that can be taken. And I know you're ready for that.
I know you're ready for that.
That's a great question. Thank you, Pastor Wallace. The number is 657-383-0944. Get in where you fit in. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We're listening tonight to our special guest, Reverend Dr. Fred Shelton. Assistant Chief of the Columbus, Mississippi Police Department, as well as we're going to learn about some other things he's doing relative to bringing solutions to this problem. Our esteemed panelist, Pastor Rick Waller. When we come back, Chief, you're going to answer that for us. What can we do to address the issue? What are some steps towards solution? And when we come back, we'll answer that after this brief message.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, well, I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we're on with Reverend Dr. Fred Shelton and our esteemed panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. When we left before the break, Pastor Waller set the question up. With all that's going on, we're in the midst of an angry sea, and there's trouble. People are afraid, and they're looking for answers. We have a man here with experience. Chief, will you tell us how can we bring peace? Say, peace, be still. I know you know something about that. Talk to us about what you're doing there in Columbus with your nonprofit ministry.
So one of the things we have to do is we have to get a good grasp of what the problem is. Okay. Now, so we're talking about what was different from the day back in the day and today is we have what we call drug courts. Drug courts say that people that are offenders, that are nonviolent offenders that have drug issues, they are put into treatment, and in order instead of going to jail, they get treatment. They have to get a treatment program, go through a treatment program. Once that program is complete, then they're allowed to go back and they'll to start again without a drug conviction. However, here's the thing: that during the process, they must be monitored, they must be continued tested. Now, I realize that because that's, again, where it comes to civil responsibility. I go into the store. Okay, mm-hmm. I know I don't have money. I don't go in there and steal. So one of the things that I'm doing through my nonprofit is teaching and educating people about choices.
Mm-hmm.
This is a choice. This is a choice. Nice. Just because I see a gun laying there does not mean I pick it up and shoot somebody. So I understand that there's a legal process, and we know that there's been a war on drugs since the Nixon administration. Okay?
Right.
And whether or not we win in that war or not is not. But I can tell you, we're still out there fighting. However, mm-hmm. and yes, it's my job to protect and serve. But so one of the things that I say this is sometimes I give people service that they don't want, because the only way sometimes to get people into a situation where they can get some help is to arrest them for a drug charge, and so that way I can get them into the court system, and their case can be deferred to drug court where they can get into a program and put into a system where they can be rehabbed and come back and become productive citizens. Yes, I know it's there, but I tell you, there's not a law enforcement officer that I know that wants drugs in their community, and we're fighting it. But however, as a police officer, I cannot arrest a person based on mere suspicion. That's where the Constitution comes in, talking about an unreasonable search and seizure. Just because what does a drug dealer look like? So I just can't say just because a bunch of guys are standing on the corner that they're selling drugs or they're using drugs, I must have and be able to clearly articulate that they are selling drugs or they have drugs or they're intoxicated due to drugs.
Okay.
So, yes, so what we do that through education. We educate the families, say, Mama, this is what your child looks like when he's high. Daddy, this is what drugs looks like. So we tell them, and let's not act like it don't exist.
Okay.
One of the issues we often face is that a person that has an addiction is not going to come forward unless he's put in a life-challenging situation where he has to make a difference. And one of them differences on a smaller basis is when that person is arrested, and then you come to first. Why am I going through this? Because you have an addiction, and your addiction is feeding your crime. So one of the things with protecting and serving, we're taking people that are nonviolent offenders that have these minor drug charges, and we're putting them through a court system where they're being court ordered to go to rehab and get treatment, because the jail is not the place to get them to get treatment, because we know that through the breakdown in the criminal justice system in prison that drugs are smuggled into the prison system.
Okay.
All right.
So what I'm hearing is that there are two aspects of this thing. One is,
mm-hmm.
yes, there's a reaction by law enforcement and other
mm-hmm.
service industries that are out there, but there is an action that triggers the reaction. Is that right, Chief Shelton?
That's correct. That's correct. That's correct.
Let me frame the question.
Ahead.
And what I'm hearing you say also is part of the solution is identifying the precipitating action that causes law enforcement to react to certain behaviors. Can you expound on that for me a little bit?
Yeah. So we get these complaints about young people that are as they say out of control, and they're on these street corners, and there's violence, as i.e. gunfire and that type
mm-hmm.
of behavior. We know that there's an underlying criminal element that's causing that. So why are they fighting? Are they fighting over territory? Are they fighting because they get enough drugs? So what is going on? And usually there's an indication that at the bottom of this is always criminal activity. So what we do in law enforcement, we seek out the criminal activity. So we have to stop the immediate pain of someone innocent being hurt through gunfire, through violence, based on this activity. Then once we get the suspect, then we get that person, and if he has an addiction, then we don't want to just catalog and warehouse folks. We want to get him some treatment so he can get out and become a productive citizen. But we can't live in a bubble and say, well, it's not happening, or I don't know what's going on. It's not my fault that it got here. So in the movie New Jack City, when Nino Brown said, hey, man, we don't have no planes to fly to South America and bring this stuff back, but how do we know it's here? But you're profiting off what's happening. So we have to say, no, there's a better way. So one of the things that through my nonprofit is teach people how to live. So, okay, so if we got a drug-infested area or area that appears to be drug-infested, why don't the homeowners get together and start, hey, look, we're going to band together, and we're going to take this blighted property, and we're going to fix it up, and we're going to band together and say, hey, look, young man, I don't know what y'all doing, but you can't do it here.
Okay.
And we're going to call the police and let the police know that you're here. And that, and if you have no, if you have a legitimate reason to be there, then you're good. But if you don't have a legitimate reason there, then you're going to have to go somewhere else.
Well, now, could that include, go ahead, Pastor, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, that is right there. You're saying, and I really respect and appreciate everything that you're sharing because you are working hard. And I'm sharing this with you based on the evidence of experimenting. And then I experimented, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, I was captured. Now,
right.
When you said that you get the people in the community together and say, look, you can't do this right here, or else we're going to call the police. See, right there, if the drug wasn't there, you couldn't call the police. Let me give you a good example. Okay, I was addicted to heroin. I've done all kinds of drugs before the heroin, but I was addicted to heroin.
Okay.
And so they had something that's called a drought. Meaning that there's no heroin in Nashville right now. And I'm going to take some heroin. But it's no heroin around. If it's no heroin around, I cannot do any heroin. It doesn't matter how sick I am, how much money I have, because I had plenty of money. But I didn't have no heroin. It mean no good to me because I needed me some heroin. So I had to leave and go further out, somewhere out of town. I don't even know where I'm going. Because I need me a hit. Now, using that example is this. The drought didn't last long because they know now if I stay off of it too long, I won't have to use it anymore.
Right.
So they make sure that the drought didn't last long. Now, who is it that's bringing it up in here, and how is it? Because I'm getting ready to share something now with you, Chief. They had me on the Channel 2 News too long ago.
Mm.
They had an interview with me. And then I've been out of the game I've been off drugs 25 years. I haven't sold drugs since 1997. And all of a sudden, they want to interview me and ask me a question about how does it get here.
Mm-hmm.
And when they said, I wasn't worried about how it got here. And as you said earlier, if they bring a ton of it here, we still don't have to use it. That's when you have the knowledge and the wisdom. Young people don't have the knowledge, neither the wisdom. All they see is that they brought this stuff in here, and they know that you're going to do something with it once you get it in your hand.
Right.
And that's why it's full of people, and that's why they still send it up into the prison. So how is it getting in our community? And no one knows how to stop it. You depend on the people who live in the community to say, I'm going to call the police. But the police is the one supposed to serve and protect because that's their job, and they're doing a fine job. We'd be like,
Absolutely.
So we, in order for this kid not to be on drugs, we're going to make sure it don't get in this community, in these projects, in this little area right here, because what it's doing is destroying our kids.
Right.
Go ahead.
So, Pastor, it sounds like what Chief Shelton is saying, and I think you're in agreement with him, and that is that the real power lies within the people. Yes, they have a right, and there are also responsibilities and expectations, civic expectations. And if you live in a community, go ahead, Chief. Go ahead.
So here's a reality that I face every day. I face every day.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, that in my city, there's a place where activity is going along. They call me all the time. What they want me to do is to send the police in and arrest all these people and take them to jail to stop the drug problem. Okay.
All right.
But here's the issue. If it's not committed in my presence, I can't make an arrest. So the lady calls me and said, I appreciate you sending your police officers down here, but as your police officer rode by, they were passing the joint from one person to the next person behind y'all back, and y'all didn't see that. So my next question is, would you be willing to sign an affidavit? Well, no, I ain't no snitch. I ain't trying to get involved like that. But you want the problem stopped. Yeah, I want the problem stopped. But I need you to take action, because under the Fourth Amendment, I have to have a warrant, and that warrant has to have probable cause, based on not mere suspicion, not based on gut instinct, but I have to have articulable facts that I can take before a judge and say, Your Honor, I need a search warrant for this residence because I have clear information. I have a witness that can say that this is what's going on in this neighborhood, and in order for me to protect, because I'm going to protect, I need authority to go in there. Because one of the things we would have chaos if police officers could just take their authority on their own and say, well, hey, you look like a drug dealer. I'm just going to pull you over and harass you and do what I want to do to you. But no. We have an established order of law which says that a police officer, that based on the Fourth Amendment, I have to have a warrant based on probable cause signed by a judge with a witness, with an affiant. The Bible says out of the mouth of two or more witnesses is a matter established. I need a witness. Because it's not happening in my presence. Nobody, and I found this out over the years because I worked undercover, nobody's going to stand there and sell drugs in front of a uniformed police officer. Nobody's going to do that.
Not in their right mind.
So when I went into areas and talking about protecting the service, I went in as an undercover officer. Okay, I wasn't looking like a police officer. I was looking like everybody else, and I was in there, and that was my responsibility because I was trying to rid the problems. Once we found out who was bringing it in there, because I had to become a crook to catch crooks, so I went in there and find out where they was getting it from, so we can shut down the pipeline. And so is that cleared up that problem in that area? No, sir. They still doing it. They just found another way to do it.
Okay. There it is. You see, there it is, right there. That means
I will say this. It's an ongoing fight, and I'm gonna continue to fight. I'm gonna continue to press the fight. You know, because that is my job. Because they're elderly people that live in that community. They can't sit on their porch because of the activity. They're out there doing drugs. They're out there cursing and hollering and shooting and doing all kind of illegal activities. I don't want that in my community. And certainly that's my job. So I put my officers down there and said, look, I don't want you just ride by now. As a matter of fact, yesterday was a holiday, but a holiday don't mean anything. I was out there myself. On my off day, riding through the neighborhood trying to address some of the same issue.
Right. Man, I sure appreciate what you're doing. I'm serious about that. But could you imagine how I feel knowing that I was a supplier, a distributor in my community? Mm-hmm. I myself messed up my life and multitudes of people's life. Could you see the concern that I have and making it aware that I'm taking the blame for not being able to know that it was a setup, it was something that was intentional, you know, intentionally done, and I didn't see it. I wasn't sharp enough to see it, that this drug is going to cause me to not only get high on it, it's going to cause me to mess up multitudes of people, you know, lives.
Thank God for the enlightenment. Because now you're trying to do something about it, as opposed to being a part of the problem. You're part of the solution now, and thank God for that.
Yes, you know, and that's the reason why, you know, it gave me a chance. I had a chance to recognize that God allowed me to put out a book. I wrote a book that's entitled Still High, because you know, I'm not worried about how much drugs they bring into Nashville. I'm really not, because I know how to not use drugs today. But that's just me. I'm not doing it. But you got the young people that are just coming into society don't know anything about that. And when they try it, they like it, and they watch it right there. So this book is entitled Still High, meaning that I don't get high anymore, I stay high. Now, not many people don't know nothing about that, but that's how much I got high. The Lord knew how much I love getting high, so he introduced me to the greatest high of them all, which will last a lifetime. I took one hit. You know, the Word of God says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes, sir.
Blessed
yeah.
is the man in trust in him. Not everybody trusts in the Lord, because when I was doing my thing in the drug game, I didn't trust in the Lord. And I didn't disrespect the Lord because I wasn't pretending like I trust in him. And so there are many people, multitudes of people that don't even trust in the Lord. And it's not because they don't believe in him. They just don't want to disrespect him. And that's
right.
the thing about it. You know? And he said, come as you are, whosoever will let him come. But they don't know anything about that. What they know about is that this marijuana, it made me some money, or I felt real good, this pill or this cocaine, heroin, whatever it is that they're doing, you know, it's all intentional. That's the point that I'm making, because there's no way I can look at my situation and say that that was not intentional done to me. I was a great basketball player. I loved basketball as a little kid, growing up in the yard playing by myself with a basketball. You know,
right.
and every time I think about it, it gets to me because it's destroying our community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not be taken to jail, you know, for drugs if the drugs are not there.
Yeah.
You know, that's
right.
that's the part. I just wonder, is it some kind of way that that can be done? That would be marvelous. You would see people
right.
walking in their field, young people enjoying themselves, grandmama sitting on the porch like they're supposed to without knowing it's a drive-by. You'll get to seeing a whole lot of positive things if that chemical was not in our communities, because that's what's causing the uproar. Believe me,
right.
that's what's causing it.
I think you're making a great point. And here's what I've noticed in our last, over the time we've been talking. The common enemy here is Mr. Snitches Get Stitches. I want to talk about Mr. Stitches. Huh? I want to talk about Mr. Snitch. Is he a bad guy or a good guy? You understand what I'm saying? Is Mr. Snitch a bad guy or a good guy? So, see, that seems to be the problem, Chief. That seems to be the common element here. There are people who know who, what, where, and when the problem arises, but they, for whatever reason, don't work with those who are supposed to serve and protect the community and to help rid their community of those problems. That's a problem by itself right there, and that's a mentality. And so, Chief, if you will, can you tell me a little bit about how Peace Be Still organization approaches that issue right there, that mentality?
One of the things that we do a program called Bridging the Gap Between the Police and the Community. So what we lay out is we lay out what the law is. This is what the law says. Okay. We talk about the responsibility of the police officer. We talk about the responsibility of the church. We talk about the responsibility of the parents. Because each one of these are a stakeholder in what's going on.
So when we
start educating about what the law is and what the law says and what we can and cannot do, the thing is, one of the biggest, like you said, is communication. Communicating what is and what can't be. There is a, you know, although I'm a police officer, I do not have all authority. That badge does not give me the right to kick down your door to come in there without a search warrant. Okay? So here's one thing I heard the superintendent of Chicago police said in relation to the crimes they're having in Chicago. He said, we can't arrest our way out of this problem.
True.
You know, there are 1.5 million people in jail all over the United States of America. But that's not stopping our crime problem. So it's got to be more than just locking people up. So that's why we have to talk. We have to communicate. We have to understand what our roles is. How do we play an important part in that? So one of the things is that we need to do is if our children are hanging on the street, then we need to find programs to teach them how to be young men. We need to teach them get them some after-school programs, do some job training. One of the things that we're doing through our nonprofit is teaching these guys how to fill out a job application, how to talk, how to do conflict resolution, how to do a little stress management. Hey, the struggle is for real out there. Okay, I get that.
Yes,
I know the struggle is for real. But however, the struggle is going to get a lot, is going to be more real if you're fighting against an established cause. It's not going to work. The struggle is because you're going against the grain of something that you have to be. And so when we talk about people being convicted felons or whatever, Just because you're a convicted felon don't mean your life is over.
No.
You're limited to what jobs you can get, but you can still get a job. You can still get an education. You know, just because you're a convicted felon don't mean you can't get an education. So go and get an education. Get a GED. You can do that.
Now,
that's free.
You're coming down my block. Chief, you coming down my block now. Hold on. You coming down my block now, Chief.
The drugs are making them feel good. So we have to replace that with something natural. You're talking about the natural law. The natural law of high is when I feel good about myself, when I can get my self-esteem up and I can make myself feel better because now, I'm a young man and I got an education. And I may be working at McDonald's, but hey, look, man, it's good earnest money. I ain't got to look over my head. I ain't got to worry about my PO coming to try to get me. You know, I got three children at home. I got children I got to take care of now. So I'm going to do what I need to do to take care of myself because life has changed for me because now I have something different. I got something different. I got something different. Right, because I need, you know, as you say, and I'm going to have to read your book, is that natural habit, the knowing that I am somebody. Getting high on life is walking in the park and being able to enjoy the sunlight and your family. That's a natural high. So how do we get that? But I can't have a natural high if I'm having drive-by shootings in my neighborhood. I can't get down my street because the little boys out there selling their wares and old folks can't come out home and can't say anything to them. So one of the things that we're teaching is that so once I take these people and teach them, then they become mentors. Then they become ambassadors, and you go and push, and use your peer pressure. I'm saying, man, look, there's a better way. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that.
Well, you know,
so they put GED programs in the housing authority now. So hey, I can't go across town. Hey, you don't have to go. Just go around there to the community center. Make yourself better, and then so the older parents, the older people, we teach them how to train the younger people.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what, gentlemen? I'm thinking right now about the Whispers when they sang that song Olivia. Said this is a pair of innocents that came at the house on our way to grandmother's house.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she got caught up by all kind of stuff in the street. And now she never turned out. Ain't that something?
Man, listen, it is something. It is something. And I think, you know, the chief,
so
you would read that in my...
Well,
yeah,
you know, I'm
yeah.
going to be in. I'm going to Pastor. I'm going to be in Columbus for a function that Chief Chef and his nonprofit is having for Father's Day weekend, and I'll be sure to bring a book down there with me for him.
Yes,
be sure
sir.
To bring
yes,
a book
sir.
But what's
I think,
you know, gentlemen,
go ahead.
We're almost at our last 30-minute segment here, and I want to talk about some things on that. But Chief, I appreciate what you're saying, and that is. That listen, I know that things have been rough and the temperature is raging, but there is a better life. And when you can
there's a better life.
Yes. And when you can plant the seed of salt in the most hardness of criminals' heart that you can do better, man, that is a centrifugal force right there.
So, Pastor Doc, you'll be honest. We were set free, but we was never taught how to be free.
My Lord. Ooh, that'll preach right there.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe that might preach right there, Chief.
That's it. Yeah.
Free, but nobody taught us how to be free. Mm.
Nobody taught us. Yeah. What does freedom look like?
My.
You're a chief.
How do I become a father now that I'm free and I'm used to going...
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Now, don't you leave me now. Listen, let me do this. Listen, if you listen to the show right now, this time to get in right now, we got another 30 minutes here. 657, call us, 383-0944. Chief Shelton will be happy to entertain your questions, your comments, as well as our panelists, Pastor Wall and myself. This is Talk Straight. We're talking about balancing legal rights and civic expectations It's important that we do that, and good conversation. And, gentlemen, let me just remind you that we will be pulling this down and putting it on our CD, and as we go into each market, each city, we want to give this. Lord bless it. We just want to give it away free because it's powerful information that people need to hear. There are a lot of good people that are struggling right now, and they need to know that even though you've been set free, you need to learn how to be free. That's powerful, right? That's a preach word right there. That's a preach word. Let's do this. Let me go to this next, segment here, and when we come back, Chief, I want you and Pastor Waller to help me understand something like I'm 3 years old. When we come back, we'll bring that back to you.
All right.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times, and locations for our traveling educational lecture series and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online. Life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I've been a-climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kinda hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. The topic, balancing legal rights and civic expectations. Our guest, Reverend Dr. Fred Shelton, Columbus, Mississippi, and our esteemed panelists, Pastor Ricky Waller, author of Steel High. Listen, the number is 657-383-0944. There's still time for you to call. I noticed, gentlemen, that we had people listening as far as Russia and Norway, according to our demographic statistics on the in the radio show, on the radio program here for the Blog Talk. And so I know there are some of us listening here in the United States of America in several cities. Now we're up to about 20 different cities that people have tuned in to our show. Feel free to give us a call. It doesn't matter. You can archive the show later. Give us a call from our website as well, 615-498-4669. But tonight, right now, 657-383-0944. Chief Shelton, question.
Yes, sir.
And Pastor Wall, I want you to get in here where you fit in here, okay? So
all right.
A mama eagle a mama eagle is sitting on a high cleft with all her baby eaglets. She decided that it was time for the eagles, the baby eaglets, to learn how to fly. She pushed them, and she nudged them with her beak, and neither one of them would move. Then all of a sudden, in a brisk move, she jumped up, spread her wings, grabbed all of her eaglets, and flew off the cliff into the sky, turned them loose, and let them go. Y'all know what the eagle has done, don't you?
They start flapping their wings.
There was an innate, instinctive measure within them to survive. Here's my question, Chief. How do we push people who are comfortable, complacent, and just afraid to move to instinctively do something for themselves?
Amazing.
What has to happen is the proverbial carpet has to be pulled with none of them. So when we start talking about that, one of the things that we do, and the new thing now with most policing is what we call community policing.
Okay.
Which is
okay.
Going back into the community, educating the community on what the problem is. And, you know, just having an open dialogue, this is what the problem is. So once we identify what the problem is, and they say, oh, I didn't know that was happening. Well, it's happening. Now the question is, what are we going to do about it? So we talk about things like the broken window theory, which says that if I go into a neighborhood and there's a house, abandoned house, if I break out one window and I do nothing, then what's going to happen is somebody's going to break out another window. Okay, and then so eventually all the windows are going to be broken out. Not only that, is that people are going to start coming out because that sends a sign that nobody cares about what's going on. So getting people engaged to get them out is to get them out. It's not waiting until there's a problem, not waiting until there's a drive-by shooting in your area or in your neighborhood, but saying, okay, look, because everybody's problem is different. Some people in Columbus, their problem, they got people that like to speed. Some people, they got children that stand out in the street and they want to play basketball. Some people have real serious crime problems. They have drive-by shooting. They have drug activity. But whatever that issue is, I've got to pull the rug and say, this is what's going on now.
Right.
I'm going to fight. I'm going to stand here and protect and serve you and fight the fight with you. But guess what? You're going to have to throw the first lick.
Right.
Because one of the things about these communities that I've seen is people know who people are. You know that just, you know that's Miss Mary's son. You know that's her little grandson. You know that. You know that. And I know that.
My Lord.
Okay?
Right.
I just want to mind my own business. No.
Oh,
I take it up on myself. I don't want seniors scared to sit on their porch. I got one lady, she says she's scared to sit on her porch. She retired and worked all her life, and she can't sit on a porch for a bunch of people that don't work? No. Don't worry about it. I'll fight that fight. All I want you to do is pick up the phone and call me. Call me, and I'm going to send that mean, bad police. Don't come over there. Tell me, don't shoot us down, man. Don't shoot us down. Negro, I'm not coming to shoot you down, but I can't let you stand in the street and cause havoc.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
You know, we talk about police harassment. It's not police harassment if I'm trying to pull it, because I got to stop you. So the other thing is another approach. So here's the thing: the house that they're all this activity is. I want to know who owned the house. Who's renting this house to you? Yeah.
Right.
So I'm gonna get on the landlord. So did you do a background check on before you rented this people to this house to people? Is the lights on? Is the sewer working? So because if the building is not up to code, we finna shut that building down.
Okay.
That's what I mean by finding new ways to pull that rug away from under. And then you know what?
That
if I pull the rug on you're gonna try to get your balance some kind of way. If nothing else, you're gonna move from there.
That's right.
Right.
Doing your job.
Right. Pastor, what were you going to say?
I say he's doing his job, man. He's working diligently, and I thank God for him. He's just serious about helping people, you know. And just so happens that he have to sometimes he has to lock people up sometimes, you know. And it happens, and I understand that. Yes, sir.
Now, here's one of the things too. Engage in the church, because guess what? In these neighborhoods.
Down Pastor Wallace. Hey, Chief, you coming down Pastor Wallace Street now?
so you got a building that you only use on Wednesday and Sunday. Within your church, you have some resources, because every church got some people that have some talents that other than preaching.
Wow.
Am I right about it?
Wow.
How about let's doing some outreach in the community? How about let's not wait until Wednesday night and have? How about just open the doors to the church, go to Walmart, get a few snacks, and get them children something to eat? Getting your little ministry team, them guys standing on the corner and say, "Hey, guys, look, is there something that we can pray with y'all about?"
Yeah.
That one thing the Spirit gonna either do, he's gonna either draw you or drive you.
Chief, let me tell you what Pastor Waller had me doing, man. Pastor Waller had me out there with tents, man, in the street, pulling young cats under the tents, man, preaching to them. I said, "Man, wait a minute, this is what this man is about right here in Nashville." And I got to give him credit. You got to give him a role while he lives. I said, "Well, this is where it needs to be. That's something that he has been, since I've known him, he's been pushing that for years. Listen, we got to get outside of those four walls of that traditional building called church."
Right. Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's just the way it is. And, you know, my pastor, you know, the founder of the church that I attend, he passed in 1997. But before that, he came out in the streets and said something to me. He planted a seed in me, and look what happened. My life changed years later. But the bottom line, he came out of the church. And so I only do the things that he taught me, that he applied it. He came out of the building, and that's what I do myself. I stay in the street because I know that's where the hurt people are. And I'm not saying that to put the church down, but it's something to make me believe that either they don't care or they don't know what to do. However, in church now, went in church, and if I heard what they were saying and how they looked, I would say, "Man, they know all about how to reach people outside." But I found out later on that it's not like that.
That's right.
It's sad to say, but here's something I want to share also, that, you know, the scripture said the sharp man sees the evil and takes cover. Sharp man. The temple goes straight up and gets trouble. See, I was a simple man. I only got in trouble. And the reason I'm saying that is the evidence proved that I was simple. I wasn't sharp at all. You know, I thought I wasn't sharp at all, man. I was that simple, went straight on and got in trouble. But the sharp man and takes cover. But look at here, though. And then it says, "Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey?" You know, when one becomes a slave at a hit of marijuana, you can become a slave. If you take a hit of cocaine, heroin, getting money, and all of a sudden you are enslaved by it. And that's what the Bible says now, the book of Romans 6:16, you know. And I didn't know that until I got free. Of course, John 8:32, the truth, and the truth shall make you free, but everybody don't know the truth. And that's why you need to come out of the church and share it with people, like you said, Chief. They need to come out of the building, man. And the people would be glad to know that somebody came out, because they're only crying for help. That's what they're doing.
Absolutely.
If they do just that, then you will be able to see people being able to sit out on the porch and be able to know that they can sit through the whole process of enjoying the sunshine or getting blown without believing that at any moment it's getting ready to be a shooting. That is not living, man. After somebody worked all them and everything, they deserve to be able to sit out on the porch, man. So I just thank God for you, and I thank God for what you're sharing. You will continue, and I pray blessings upon what you're doing. But it's not easy. Yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you've heard me say many times, and I'll say this for our listening audience, a blind man can't see, a scared man won't fight, and a dead church won't say no soul.
No sir.
So it's that time to get out there and hit them streets, baby, and put the work in.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
So, Pastor Doctor, that's how the eagle stirs the nest. Kick them jokers out of their place of comfort. You gotta get out of that comfort. You can't look. At a certain age, you can't stay here no more, son.
Come on,
yes,
man.
I done fed you. I done nurtured you. So that's why the eagle kick them out. Because guess what? You gonna learn. Instinct gonna kick in. Survival is it is a wonderful thing to have. Survival, because man is always, doctor. You know, man is always looking, longing to understand his creator and to communicate with his creator.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But when I put you in a position, when you get in a position, when you're in a bind, you gonna learn. You look, David said, "I look to the hills from whence cometh
my
help
God.
And all my help."
Yeah, that's
my
it.
Help. My help, because see, I gotta come down off that mountain to see where my help at.
Yes, sir.
So you said if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve it. Is that what you say? You would never know it, but now that you have a problem,
let God solve it. You got to surrender. The devil come but to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've came that you might have life, and that more abundant. Anything that's sucking the life out of me, that's destroying me, that's killing me physically, spiritually, and mentally, and emotionally, that ain't of God. That ain't the God I know now.
No, sir.
See,
so,
that's,
Chief, are
that's
you,
why you can't.
Are you telling me this? Let me ask you this question. Chief, are you telling me that the people in the church need to be kicked out? They know something. Get out there. That's what it sounds like to me. They've been going to church so much, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, but nobody's kicking them out. You see?
My Lord.
And I put them right there. And see what you know, and if you don't know anything, then you realize that you need to stand there a little bit longer. But right now, it's time to get out.
Man.
Right. So, an eagle is not going. Hey, because that mama when he kicked him out, that eagle, that little eagle, not only going to learn to fly, he going to learn how to go get him something to eat too.
Come on, watch it now.
And the Bible said, "Go ye out into all the world, go in the hedges and the byways, and find me somebody, because they lost. They lost.
Yes.
I say that. I approve that message. Yeah, we got to kick some folks out. They've been caught for too long. They don't know how to go and hunt.
Okay, I just want
to
know.
You have to be wise to win souls. Sheep begin sheep.
Look,
yes, sir.
Look.
Okay.
They tell me Peter and some other boys been out fishing all day long, and then he comes Jesus
nothing.
At almost sundown. Said, "Come on, let's go." He said, "Man, is you crazy? We've been here all day. We ain't caught nothing." He said, "No, I'm gonna make you fishers of men. I'm gonna show you boys how to really fish."
Yeah, man, that's it right there. That's it. That is it because there's some people out there. That's what's going on. You know, why would the word say, "It's now high time to awake out of sleep"? Why would he say that? It is now high time to awake out of sleep. Why would he say that if it wasn't true? You know, it's not time to wake out of sleep. It's time. You know, and that's the thing that needs to be done. It's time to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And so, if you cast off the works of darkness, the darkness is outside. So let's go out there and do something about it and turn that light on.
Didn't you tell me the last show, Pastor, that all a sleeper going to get is a dream? Didn't you say that last time?
Yeah, don't come from it. Well, come from a sleeper, a dream.
A sleeper but a dream.
That's what happened to me when I woke up and that money wasn't in my hand. I dreamt about the money because I had seen so much money around me when I was a young boy. And then I went to sleep and I was dreaming and I knew I had a hand full of money. And when I woke up and it wasn't there, it terrorized me. And that caused me to chase the chase for a man. I tell you the truth. Man, that was one of the times I wanted to go back to sleep, man. My hand was full of money. You know? And I had that much money in my hand. Couldn't even ball my fist up, man. And then I woke up and it wasn't there. That prepared me for the chase right there, man. And all of a sudden, I'm serious. That happened.
My.
And yeah, man. Sad to say, but it happened.
I see why you can't get three preachers on a talk show, because you ain't going to get nowhere but a word. Then you ain't going to get nothing but a word. Listen, Steve, we got about 10 minutes before we get out of here, a little less than 10. Tell us a little bit about some things that you got coming up there in the Columbus area. If there's someone listening from Columbus, tell us what you're doing and give us some ways we can connect with you.
We're having a Father's Day gospel celebration. That's right. We're going to celebrate fathers. You know, contrary to belief, there's still some fathers out there. So what we want to do is celebrate them, and it's going to be for a good cause. So what I'm going to take is this is a fundraiser. We're raising funds. It's fun, and we're raising. So this is so we can go out and do some more programs to help people, some of that bridging the gap between another program we have. We call Bridging the Gap Between the Parents and At-Risk Youth. So we need to, and it takes money to do that.
Sure.
So what I want to be able to do is go and train these people, provide this training for them, give them an opportunity to become ambassadors, and go out and share this and help other people. That's the whole purpose of it.
Okay.
But you know what?
Okay.
I have to go. See, here's the thing is, I have to go into the neighborhood where they are.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Because they're not coming down to City Hall. They're not coming to the county jail.
You can't tell
so
they got to come to see you, huh?
Right. Because they ain't going over there, police department. So I'm coming to you.
Okay.
I'm going to come and sit down with you in your home, in your community center, and teach you. Man, I ain't got no money. You don't need no money. All I need is a willing heart. Yeah, sir. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, you're working.
Okay.
The price has been paid. So again, this is our first year. This is our first inaugural fundraiser, and we're again so we can do better things. And what other better day than to take and give a man a message on Father's Day? Gonna have the best dressed father contest, the father with the most children. Just gonna give him a little something. Put something in the hand.
Okay.
Say, man, we appreciate you for standing up being a man.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good.
Who are some of the guests? Who are some of your guests you have coming? I understand you have some musical guests coming.
Man, I got Pastor James Bolton of the Bolton Brothers. I got Teddy Cross. He from the sing with the Gospel Keynotes. I got the Decided Seven, the Grail Family, Felton Hodges, and the Anointed Voices of Praise. Yeah.
Well, you know Teddy Cross, man, he had a Teddy Cross got a powerful testimony. He was strung out for a minute himself.
At New Orleans.
That's right. Willie Neal Thompson gave him a chance.
Yeah, Family Healing, Volume 1.
Okay. Well, praise God. We're looking forward to that. And I hope our listening audience from the Columbus area is tuned in there, and that you're likewise listening and share that information. And be sure to share this show with other residents there in your area. If you're in the Birmingham area, that's one of our markets, Bessemer, Alabama, Birmingham area as well, you can come there and be a part of this. And that's June. What day is that, Chief?
It's going to be on Father's Day, June the 18th. Doors open at 3, and the show going to kick off at 5.
Give us an address, please.
It's going to be Joe Cook Auditorium at 2207 7th Street North in Columbus, Mississippi.
All right.
39701, if you want to put that in your GPS.
Praise God. Pastor Waller?
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit about your book, sir, before we leave here. I'm going to make sure I get a copy and bring a copy down there to Chief Shelton. And perhaps when we come down that way later, we can bring it into the market there and do some workshopping with Chief Shelton there. Tell us a little bit about the book there, and I know you know we can get it on the website. I'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit. But tell us a little bit about the book, Pastor Wallace.
Yeah, sure. I want to share this about the book because the book is for purpose. The purpose for this book is to turn lives around It is to let people know who are caught up into a world of addiction how to be free and stay free. This book,
okay.
I don't teach a person how to relapse. I don't do any of that. I teach a person how to stand firm. And, you know, it's only my experience because everything I was addicted to, I never went back once I got free. And I talk about it in my book. And I have one chapter that I love, and it has to do with forsaken talent. And message to the, and I'm sending a message to the youth. I mean, no matter what skill, what gift you have, I myself, you know, love basketball, still do today. And so I just want to say to you, this book is worth getting. If you know someone in your family that need it, you can also call me at area code 615-491-5489 if you want to buy cases of books, which I think is appropriate to give away. You will be blessed, and you will bless this ministry also because that's what I do. I'm out in the street daily sharing my testimony and changing lives, and that's what the book is about.
Chief Shelton, man, I want to thank you for joining us, sir, and bringing your expertise to our blog talk format here. And we appreciate everything.
Man, thank you for letting a nobody tell somebody something.
I imagine that quite often that rightful respect, and we do recognize that there's some people that need to be perhaps they find another job, get another profession. But we're
grateful for the many
law enforcement officials who work hard and tirelessly every day to serve and protect the public, and we appreciate you for all that you do.
Yes, sir.
One other thing I'd like to say to him, I want to thank Chief Shelton, man. I want to let you know how grateful I am for you and the work that you're doing and how eager and excited you are to see lives change, man. That I think that's a great statement that you're making. So keep up all the work.
Thank you. Praise God.
Okay, well, it's about time for us to get out of here in another couple of minutes, but I'm going to encourage our listening audience, again, to go to our website. That's www.bfcinstitute.com. Learn about what we're doing. You can find Pastor Wallace's book there as well, and you can archive this episode and stay in tune with us as we continue to travel around. God willing, we'll get to the places that we target. And the main thing, the purpose of this radio show is to bring educational information that will help empower and transform lives in a positive way. So this is your host, Reverend Dockery, and tonight we've been talking about balancing legal rights and civic expectations. We will come back this coming Thursday at the beginning of June with our next episode at 7 o'clock p.m., and we encourage you to join us there. We'll have an open mic session, and I'm not quite sure who our next guest is going to be, but we're working on some individuals now. But we're grateful for your participation. And with that, we're going to leave, gentlemen, with this song right here. And it simply says, we got to keep on. We can't stop now.
All right.
But we got to keep on pushing.
Yes, sir.
Chief Shelton, thank you again. Pastor Wallace, thank you.
Thank you again.
We will. Yes, sir. And we'll see everybody again this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. We'll be right back.
I'll be